You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Friday morning, November 21st. It's another beautiful morning to have you here. Not physically up north, but always in an up north frame of mind. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching on all the other platforms, thanks for starting the day right here. I've got a question for you. Where's the best fish fry in your hometown? We're going to be asking that throughout the course of the day. I know most people are like, well, wait, is it Lent? That's when we always talk about fish fries, right? But no, in this case, it's just part of our Locals Love section in our Up North News daily newsletter. And, you know, so Ellie Bordeaux, our newsletter editor in the past, has said, you know, give us your favorite pizza joint, burger joint, you know, ice cream shop, I think it was last week. And this week she's asking about fish fries. So are we. So we're just asking, where's a really good fish fry in your hometown? We've got a few of those ideas that have already popped in. Ellie put some in this morning's newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. We would love to have you tell us more about where you get yourself a good fish fry dinner. Folks watching on civic media, or I'm sorry, folks watching on social media, civic media, social media, video. Parker Olson's right here in the room with me. You can't tell, but I was about to say, people watching on Facebook or YouTube going, well, wait, you look like you're in Lake Wissota. No, that's just a photo background, because folks who've listened know that here in Madison Studio A2, the wall behind me looks much like a place where people are lined up and shot. So we decided to go for something a bit more virtual today. Mr. Olson, how are you?
I'm worried you're going to get shot now.
Well,
I didn't know that was on the table.
It's just this plain blank wall. My old journalism instructor, Henry Lippold, yeah, you know, always warned us against, you know, taking execution photos, meaning don't line up people against a wall and shoot them with the camera.
Yeah.
You know, actually put some scenery there. So there's a little Lake Wissota behind me, though, down here in Madison, just on my way to run some errands for the weekend here. So it's nice to be here. Nice to see Parker person and get things rolling on a Friday here. And in fact, I mean, you know the routine for Friday. We're going to have Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil in here to talk about stories of the week. We're going to have journalist Mark Jacob. We're going to have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who probably has some thoughts on the new U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Brad Schimmel. And we'll talk about that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. Mike Clemens sounded, I mean, Mike knows we love him. So when I say death warmed over, you know that we mean it lovingly.
I was going to say a little weathered, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So anyway, so he's off here. Let's see. We've got all the usuals, but I kind of want to just jump right into things here, because Tom in Hartford's already on the text line telling us Glenda's near Lake Okeechee has a good fish fry, also homemade award-winning pies. So there you go. Ooh. We're getting fish fries and pies today.
That's a good combination.
Yeah, that all works. Let's see, from Alicia. Wait, am I farther up north than you are today? Yes, Alicia, you are the one up north. Tony has Hoops Dockside in Bayfield is probably the best in the state. Whoa.
Ooh.
Strong words here. Yeah. Okay.
Talking big game.
Hoops Dockside in Bayfield. All right. And Alicia says, I love Tanner's in Kimberly for a fish fry. So that all works. And then I believe, do we have Cindy in Appleton joining us here? Cindy, yes, are you on the phone this morning?
I am.
Hey, Cindy, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Great, thanks. It's nice to make it to Friday, and it's nice to be talking about dinner already at 6:10 in the morning. You want to tell me where you go for a good fish fry?
Van Abel's of Hollandtown, one of the best in the state. They also have great steaks and a great chicken dinner on Sunday night.
That's in Hollandtown. What's the name of it again?
Van Abel's.
All right. God, I like that. So what is it that makes it a good fish fry? Because we're going to be asking that question as well. Is it the type of fish, or what is it about it that makes it so good?
Well, to me, it's usually the breading and the deep frying of it, because sometimes they get too dried out. Mm-hmm. I like them when they're nice and still moist, and there's not a lot of breading. And, of course, tartar sauce to me is what makes the fish, and Venables has a good tartar sauce, so.
Yeah, you got to love the ones that are the homemade stuff. Not the stuff that falls off the back of the Sysco truck, you know, at every restaurant. So, yeah, anything that makes it homemade. Cindy, thank you very much for checking in. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Good to see you. Good to hear from you, rather. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So now that you've had some time to think about this, I mean, is the UW-Whitewater community known for a good fish fry someplace?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm not a big fish fry guy. So
oh, that's right.
Even...
You were saying.
Yeah.
You remember April Fool's and somebody tried to pull off the fish fry ice cream?
I wasn't here yet.
Were you not here in April?
No.
Oh, okay.
I
just
in
figured
May.
Since you weren't a fish guy, maybe you'd go for fish fry ice cream. But
that sounds
It was
worse.
Disgusting. It sounds that, it,
yeah.
it does.
Yeah.
yeah. It does. Yeah. Okay. So not a fish guy. All right. Well, as it just so happens, a good friend of mine, Jim Zahns, started a Facebook group years ago called Wisconsin Fish Fry Fandom. And it is just a page dedicated for people to, you know, write in places to get a good fish fry and maybe put up some photos. And Jim lives on, I don't know if it's Lake Manoman or just the Red Cedar River, but anyway, all the time he is posting photos of the walleye that he's catching. And he knows fish fry. So we're going to have him in later this hour after today's history lesson and talk a bit about what makes a good fish fry and where he has found some of the best ones in the state. Alicia, fish fry ice cream sounds traumatic. Yes. Yeah, totally get it. Let's see. Tony, not a fish fry guy. No coffee. Water always. It's so hard to relate to Parker. Well, he is a Renaissance man that way. You got your quick trip.
Cheers,
your
Tony.
Cup of your brewer's mug that we got from the game. Yep.
Yes.
Roger puts on Facebook, EML in Roselleville has a great fish fry. That's good to know. As far as, when Tony said that Hoops Dockside in Bayfield is probably the best, he did a follow-up message, just ask Fred Clark. He gets it.
Oh,
there you go. So if it's endorsed by Fred Clark,
I mean, come on.
Candidate for Congress up there in the 7th Congressional District. By the way, I didn't have time to look this up yet, but speaking of the 7th District and the former member of Congress, Sean Duffy. I heard a story on the drive in here today in Madison that it started out well. There was like some new public service announcement that's all about civility in the airlines and how, you know, once upon a time, people actually, you know, put on a suit and tie or, you know, dressed up to fly. Flying was like a big fancy deal. And then it, from what I could tell, it shows clips of people fighting on airplanes, people being rude on airplanes. And it's all about how, you know, your manners don't end at the gate. And how much did I spout off yesterday about manners and etiquette and things like that? And that would be fine if it had just stopped right there. But apparently the Secretary of Transportation, one Sean Duffy, went on to criticize people. I just can't.
Oh, boy.
Criticize people for the way they dress when they get on airplanes and how we ought to dress up again and you shouldn't be getting on a plane in your pajamas. Now, look, even if you think that, it's one thing for a schlep like me to say that on the radio. For the U.S. Transportation Secretary to say, you guys look terrible when you get on the airplane. You're just inviting every passenger to go, who the hell are you, Sean Duffy? Guy that dances in his underwear on TV as a reality star to criticize how we dress. When people get into their sweats to fly, especially when you've got to get to the airport at 3:30 in the morning to get a flight out because of the TSA lines and everything else, I'm not putting the tuxedo on. I'm sorry. I'm not. And I've got some nice suits, but I'm not dressing up for you, Sean Duffy. Nobody should. We're flying. The behavior part, spot on. Love it. Can't say it enough. Fashion police? No, Sean. It's stay in your lane.
Weird hill to get on.
It really is. Yep. Tony would like to make clear he is not putting words in Fred Clark's mouth. He just believes that they would agree on fish fries. Let's see, from Walt. Maple Tree Supper Club in McFarland, 20 to 30 people lined up to enter by 3:30 for their 4 o'clock opening. Beer and lightly battered is tops along with their salad bar. I got to write all these down. This is so good.
I mean, that's not that far from here, Pat.
No,
you can hit that up on your way back.
Yeah. It reminds me of what I said the other day about the Eschnala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells, how, you know, like an hour before it opens, there's 40, 50 people waiting in line for that. And we get none of that up north. We get next to none of that.
Really?
No. I mean, well, here's the thing. If there is a wait, you don't wait in line. You go to the bar. You know. Now, this is, I know Walt's talking about that. They haven't even opened yet. But I don't know that I've seen a place with a line up north before they even open. You know, at some point you just come in because there's plenty of bar stools and you have your old fashioned. And I'm so tempted to play the Jason Kelsey thing again. Oh, I had God. 7 spotted cows. And then another old-fashioned, which, I mean, you know, in Chippewa County, that's Saturday night. You know, it's that's just how we roll. A little prime rib, some chicken wings. There's your Jason Kelsey special.
Yeah.
And yet, despite being as large as a football player, I do not play football. It's just simply the chicken wings and the fried fish that did it. Anyway, so we love these recommendations that are coming in, and let's see, I want to make sure I don't miss any. Oh, here's Jim from Brookfield, and Jim, thank you for the nice note earlier. I will respond to that one. He says, the Red Mill in Brookfield has an excellent fish fry. The Red Mill is a traditional supper club going back to the late 50s, right in the middle of suburban Brookfield. Back in the early days, Eddie Matthews and some of the Milwaukee Braves would stop in.
Oh, cool.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Which gets to this, when he talks about it being right in the middle of the suburb of Brookfield. Again, once upon a time, Brookfield was like way out of town. You know, when everybody lived in Milwaukee, when the suburbs hadn't begun creeping, you know, farther and farther out that way. So it's nice to still see the few supper clubs that are left. I mean, the ones that are in cities and things, they're not around as much as they used to be. Eau Claire used to have a couple of nice ones right in town. There was Staffney's. There was Austin's White House. You know what? In a related note, while I'm mentioning those, if you want to RIP like some great supper club or restaurant that's not around anymore, and I should probably save it for a separate day, but if it was a place that had a good fish fry, you can throw that out there too. We can remember the places that had them in the past. Anyway, my point about supper clubs is this. Our new executive producer, Frank, and we'll hear from him later on with his weekly quiz here, among others, is like, what exactly defines a supper club? And the answer might surprise some people, but I always say it's the relish tray. You know, you get this thing with pickled herring, carrot sticks, breadsticks, maybe some radishes on there. You're not getting that anyplace else. And it just, it underscores the family style aspect of this, that you've got your old fashions and then you got your relish plate. You might get a basket of bread. And then you're going to get your cheese curds maybe that come in. So it's not a 7-course fancy restaurant. But things are going to come in waves, and then eventually the broasted chicken or the ribs or the fish fry. Oh. And, I mean, it is just an experience, and it's an experience unlike anything else, and I wouldn't trade any of it for the world. All right, we'll talk more about your favorite fish fry places, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app to text us or to call us or to leave us a voice note. We're going to talk about the week's headlines with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil coming up in just a sec. First, the show In Spirit comes to you from the heart of America's up north, but today we're in Madison. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
nice to have you back on this Friday morning, heading into the weekend with Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil, who's back in his home stomping grounds in the Philadelphia area. How are you, Kia?
I am well, Pat. How about yourself?
Good. It seems to me the things that need to be reviewed when you look back at this week will, of course, be the big flip-flop by Trump and the Republicans in Congress on the Epstein files, and Donald Trump's ability to try to convince people this is not the recession you're looking for. Who's he selling this to?
Really gullible people. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that anyone outside of, like, you know, the very wealthy can look at the economy and say it's working for them. You know, the stock market's done well all year, but that's been driven by, you know, five AI companies in a trench coat. It's not a real, like, most companies are not showing gains. Mm-hmm. I believe it's like 80% or not, if I remember correctly. And now we're even starting to see the stock market kind of shake a little bit. But yeah, you have job hiring slowing, you have loan delinquency rising. Every, you know, under the hood sign is blinking red right now and has been for quite a few months. And, you know, Trump, a lot of that, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with Trump's tariffs, which are obviously inflationary. And, you know, the rest of it has to do with a lot of bigger problems in this country that he's done exactly zero to solve. And now we're going to send healthcare costs skyrocketing in January, which will certainly make the problem much, much worse. And, you know, we have a president who is grifting in every possible way there is to grift, and is so cartoonishly corrupt that there aren't even words for it anymore. So, yeah, that's sort of the state of play economically.
Yeah. Well, look, we did finally get the numbers for September, and they showed a rather weak 119,000 jobs. And if I saw correctly, they're basically not even going to pretend to do an October report, which I guess makes sense when you talk about a group that promised more transparency, but they fired the last person who gave bad numbers. Mm-hmm. So maybe you just don't put out any numbers at all, it seems. If you don't want, what's the old saying in medicine? If you don't want to find a fever, don't take the temperature.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that is there's a lot of private reports and numbers out there. And so obviously they're not as reliable as what the government puts out. But I also don't know that you could say the Trump administration, like that I fully trust the Trump administration. So on what they put out. So also we saw the Biden and, you know, administration try to convince people that their daily material reality wasn't what they felt it was. And so I don't think that's really an effective way to govern this country, to like pretend like there aren't problems and tell people they're crazy, which is essentially Trump's plan. You see him get really angry at reporters. You see him complain about people complaining about the economy. It's the same mistake the Biden team did, which is they did not take it seriously until it was too late. And I mean, Trump's obviously a bit of a lame duck, but it's not a great sign for Republicans that he can't admit that there are problems in the economy.
No, I mean, it took this long to admit that, you know, the public was not going to let the Epstein files thing go. And so last weekend, you know, he did this abrupt flip flop and pretty much every Republican fell into line on that vote. So now he has signed the bill. So when I say, what do we look for next? It seems to me the only two options are some kind of a mass dump of information to try to just, you know, flood the zone, as they say, mm-hmm. or you try the next brick wall where you put out a bunch of heavily redacted stuff and you say, well, you know, we've got that new investigation going on, and with an ongoing investigation, we can't really tell you anything. If you were going to, you think either one of those is the more likely scenario?
I tend to think they're going to not release. Obviously, we have the sham investigation that Trump asked DOJ to launch into some of the Democratic affiliated names and the emails that were released. And I tend to think that's just a way to prevent the actual release of these files, because, you know, if there's an ongoing investigation, DOJ can not release some of these files. And so that's my theory, that they're either going to just like slow walk it till it dies or try to. I don't think that'll be effective. The Epstein files has been a thing in our culture for 6 years now. And so it has legs. But yeah, I mean, look, I could be wrong. Maybe they'll actually release them all. But at every step of the way, Trump has acted so shady that I tend to think he's trying to somehow get ahead of this now and try a different strategy than just objecting, and, you know, maybe shift blame to DOJ somehow.
And then last thing I want to get on is Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Department of Health and Human Services and some new language. Well, briefly, and here's the reason why. Yeah, they've changed some of the language about vaccines on the website. And, you know, tell me if I'm dreaming this, but I do believe that Senator Bill Cassidy, Republican of Louisiana, you know, said he was only voting to confirm Robert Kennedy Jr. after he promised not to change language on the website about vaccines and autism. So my question for you, Kia, is does Senator Cassidy now call for Robert Kennedy Jr.'s removal, or does he just look like one more person who got played by somebody in a fellow Republican's administration?
I think giving him credit for getting played is going too far. I think Cassidy knew exactly what he was doing. He put on a show for the press to pretend like he still has credibility as a doctor. But you don't confirm RFK without knowing who RFK is. There was an abundance of evidence before he voted of who this man is and what he would do and what he believed. That is all borne out. It's been worse than we expected, but not by that much. We all knew who RFK was in the press. Bill Cassidy, a doctor, certainly should have known and did know. So I think that's BS. I don't think he's going to call on him to resign. I think Bill Cassidy fears a primary from his right more than a general election. And I think it's all a show.
And by the way, if you happen to notice a fruit basket in his office, chances are it was sent by Susan Collins with a note saying, I too am concerned that something's happening.
Though concerned and troubled.
Concerned and troubled, though heaven forbid I do anything about it. Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, thanks as always for the end of the week update. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
It's time once again for today's history lesson on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
It's one small step for man.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
You know, this depression is going to be so great. We'll be the ones eating the cats and the dogs. That's going to be fun.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
Hey. Just a little bit longer. Please, 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 please tell me you're going to.
All right, let's get today's history lesson rolling with the number one song from this day in 1961. Was by Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs. I know you probably heard the Jackson Browne version later on, but it was the number one song this day, 64 years ago, and it was still the shortest ever number one song. This record ran 1 minute and 37 seconds. It was every disc jockey's dream who had to back time their music block to the top of the hour news. You loved those things back in the day. Hey, look, it's Friday. We are joined once again on our history lesson on Fridays, as always, by Gregoire Ilyanovich Bachtoberfest. Mr. Bach, hello. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Patrick Kreitlow. That's all I got.
Patrick Kreitlow.
It's Friday. It's the end of the week. It's fine. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning. Before we get too deep in this, we're going to talk more in our next segment about Friday fish fries. It's our question of the day, but I don't want to forget. If anybody you want to give a particular shout out to when you got to have a fish fry?
Oh, my gosh. Probably two specific ones. Ron's Cozy Corner in the Milwaukee, southeastern Wisconsin area, and, of course, my baby Lakefront Brewery.
Oh, of course. Okay.
It's a wonderful, wonderful fish fry, but there's lots of selections, especially around where I live. But, yes, those stick out.
So many. And, Maurice Williams is done singing. We got to move on.
We have to keep going.
Problem with those short records. All right. Well, we'll move up to 1970. This was the number one song in the land. Everybody over a certain age is starting to sing and embarrassing their children.
Everyone who is an older brother when this came out, it's like, this song's fine. It's a good song. I mean,
right?
I wouldn't buy the record.
No, but
clearly enough, people did with the Partridge Family. I might have had something to do with Susan Day being one of the characters on there. But anyway, I Think I Love You by the Partridge Family.
I think it has less to do with her than more about the guy singing the song.
I don't. Well, you had fans of all genders there.
Yeah,
you also
it's
had,
true. It's true.
Others were looking at Mrs. Partridge, Shirley Jones, over there and going, hey, how you doing? Single mom.
Okay.
Around that same time that the Partridge Family was airing, there was That Girl on TV and actress Marlo Thomas in the lead role. She's been married to Phil Donahue for a long, long time now, and she is 88 years old today. And while you're feeling old about things from the late 60s, Goldie Hawn from Laugh-In, she, and actress in many other movies since then. Goldie Hawn is 80 years old today.
Academy Award-winning Goldie Hawn.
Yes. Yeah, take nothing away from her. And Kate Hudson's mom, for those folks who haven't made that connection yet. Mm-hmm. And then singer Bjork is 60 years old today. I don't know anything else about Bjork except that one weird swan dress. That's all I know.
You should look up Google when you have a chance. This is perfectly like family friendly too. It's nothing.
Okay.
Look up Bjork explains a television.
Bjork explains a television. All right.
Yep.
And tuck that one away.
It's just a little lady from Iceland talking like this about the television.
Oh, God.
All right. Now I'm intrigued.
All right, then.
I do hate to do this to everybody. I apologize now, but it is Friday. It's kind of a good Friday tune, kind of. And it's on the birthday list, so I'm obligated to tell you that Carly Rae Jepsen turns 40 today. Jean's skin was showing.
Is Greg doing the robot?
I thought I thought he was going into a little 6-7 dance there or something. It's oh boy. Well, there's your earworm for the day, everybody. You thought you'd gotten rid of it. You cannot control alt delete this song once it gets in your head.
It's a solid track, good for dancing, great for weddings or just events.
It's only sin was being grossly overplayed at the time.
It screams 2012.
Yes. So
Look at Parker being an old man.
Look at him. Oh, that's so 2012.
That's so long ago. That's so me, middle school.
On this day in 1877, Thomas Edison announces his invention of the phonograph, a machine that can play a record and you can hear sound coming out of the machine. What kind of wonders of technology would result from that?
He says, let's hook this up to an elephant, see if it kills it.
No, that was a different story.
Wrong guy.
Different story, not the phonograph.
No, anyway. Same guy. Just
same guy. Oh, I know. I know.
Oh, God. Tommy, what are we doing?
On this day in 1980, Steely Dan released their 7th studio album. No, not Groucho for Marx. It was called Gaucho, and here's one of the singles. Gaucho also included Hey 19, Babylon Sisters, and more. Steely Dan released it 45 years ago today. On this day 30 years ago today, Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day was busted for dropping his pants and mooning the audience at a concert in Milwaukee. He would pay a fine of $141 and didn't come back to Milwaukee for many, many years, but...
I saw them in Milwaukee one year. It was an amazing show. It was an amazing show.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a minute.
Why does this always happen in Milwaukee? Didn't George Carlin get fined for
He got arrested at Summerfest for doing stand-up in 1974, I think it was, but I'm sure someone on the live stream will correct me. He did his seven words you can't say on the air. He did that in public, outdoors, at Summerfest, and got pulled and got dragged to jail. There's a picture of it. You can Google that next too. Bjork explains television. George Carlin arrested Milwaukee. There you go.
So if you say the 7 dirty words while doing the big gig, you can end up in the big house. So there you go.
Greg is going to say them now.
All right. Number one song this day in 1981 was by Olivia Newton-John. Has anybody worn any leg warmers lately? Anybody? Nope. Again, a song that was maybe overplayed a little bit at the time.
Was it?
But oh yes.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, this song was overplayed, Parker. But she was one of the biggest acts on the planet in the early 80s.
Yes.
They gave her a movie and they were like, "Oh, this is a bad idea."
Olivia Newton-John.
George Carlin was arrested in 1972. I knew it was 72, but I doubted myself.
Ah, okay.
Dang it, Greg.
I've got to go with your gut, man. Yeah. Anyway, Physical was the number one song for 10 weeks, making it the biggest hit of 1981. The original Rocky movie premiered in New York City on this date in 1976. So next year will be the 50th anniversary of Rocky. That's crazy. Well,
and guess what we're going to get?
What?
A movie about how they made the movie Rocky.
Yeah.
Of course we are.
Good prediction.
Oh, man. Let's see. Up to 1987, it was actually a remake, an oldie, by Billy Idol that was the number one song. Here she come now, say money, money. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Billy Idol's Money Money replaced Tiffany's I Think We're Alone Now at number one on the chart this week in 1987. Both of those songs were originally done by, do you remember Greg Bach? Money Money and
Tommy
I Think We're Alone. Tommy James and the Shondells, yes.
Yep.
Very good.
You get a gold star.
Yeah.
I listened to the radio in the 80s. Yay!
And if you were listening in 1990, every so often a sappy love song would come on and take the top of the charts. And in 1990, 35 years ago today, the new number one song was by James Ingram.
I sense Greg has thoughts.
Do you have thoughts? No. James Ingram only made powerful love songs. He didn't.
Okay.
He had so much emotion to give to the world.
He did. I really liked his voice. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tony's telling us, we went through a box of my dad's old stuff at my grandma's house, and it was so many Olivia Newton-John records.
And it was all just Physical. Bunch of copies of Physical.
Just one song.
Very surprised he listened to anything but country. Although Olivia Newton-John did start with a little country in her.
Oh.
She won Best Country Artist.
That's right.
When she debuted in America, she was a country artist in the what's called Countrypolitan, which was a more washed out version of the Nashville sound.
Yep.
Which you guys got it a couple hours. I can talk about that.
We got three of them.
I just remember Nashville was their hair was on fire. This woman from Australia is the best country singer of the year. The sacrilege.
No.
Somehow Nashville lived on. On this day in 1992, Adam Sandler sang the Thanksgiving song on Saturday Night Live for the first time. I'm sure that'll be played next week a few times. In the year 2000, 25 years ago today, the number one single was by Destiny's Child. We have got to get a disco ball for the studio in Racine there at Radio Park.
He is dancing a lot.
Just for Greg on Fridays. Let the man dance.
Love Destiny's Child.
This was from the Charlie's Angels movie reboot with Lucy Liu, Cameron Diaz, and Drew Barrymore.
Lucy Liu, the who?
No, not Cindy Lou Who.
Oh, Cindy Lou.
Lucy Liu.
Okay.
Just a great campy movie. I don't know that the sequels after that were that great, but I really did like the first one. I don't know, Greg. Maybe you didn't see it. He's pleading not guilty, and rightly so.
I don't know anything about what you're talking about. I have no idea.
On the national day calendar today, Parker?
It is Gingerbread Cookie Day. Seems very early for that.
Gingerbread Cookie Day. Are we a gingerbread cookie fan down there, Mr. Buck?
Yeah, maybe like a one, but I can't overdo that stuff. It just gets to be, no, thank you.
That's fair.
I'll enjoy one for the holidays.
One of my daughters makes kind of a gingerbread molasses. I don't know if the ginger snaps, maybe they're called, but oh my goodness, they're just addicting. I hope she's making those this weekend. I'm heading out to see her from here. So if you're listening, dear, fire up the oven. What else we got for today?
It is also National Stuffing Day.
National Stuffing Day.
Oh, that's a topic.
It is,
isn't
it?
That's a topic. That really is a topic.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. You got a little time, Greg. Stuffing, go.
Huge fan. Don't ever put cranberries in my stuffing. Don't make it sweet. I don't want anything sweet in my stuffing. And water chestnuts. What are you doing in there? Stop it. Just stop it.
Water chestnuts.
A good spicy sausage in there. Very nice.
Oh, yes.
Like an andouille sausage or, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's got yes. good
and you can pack it. You pack it together and you make a turkey sandwich with it. That's if you're feeling real weird.
Ooh. You know, then there's, yeah, the people that are making like leftover turkey, Thanksgiving leftover, like pizzas or what is it there?
Oh, God.
They're doing all kinds of weird things with the leftovers. Oh, you mix it all together. You put it in like a waffle iron and you make something out of that. Yes.
Yeah. Something you can do.
People just getting out. It's getting out of hand here.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Our question of the day here is, where is a great fish fry in your hometown? And I got an expert, Jim Zons, who does the Facebook page Fish Fry Fandom, is going to join us to talk all about that as well. And, of course, we'll take your input at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use that Civic Media app to call us or text us or record a voice note or jump in the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
.652 on this Friday morning. Parker Olson is down here in Madison. I'm in Madison too, Studio A2. Greg Bach is over at Radio Park in Racine. You can hear him for Matinere on Air along with Jane Matinere coming up from 9 to 11 today on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're joined in this segment by my friend Jim Zons, who has a Facebook page, he and about a million other people who love a good fish fry, called Wisconsin Friday Fish Fry Fandom. Again, Wisconsin Friday Fish Fry Fandom, all about the goodness that is the Wisconsin fish fry. Mr. Zons, how are you?
It's unusual being up this early in the morning, but I'll always get up early to talk about fish.
Because you are on, Tainter Lake?
Yeah, Tainter Lake,
and
north of Menominee.
And Jim and I go way back to college, and now he lives out there. If you're familiar with the area, he's the guy with the caboose in the front yard. He was living the dream of a lot of us. He actually did purchase an old caboose, and it's his office space in there, which we're jealous of. What, about 8 months out of the year?
Yeah,
not winter so much, you know.
Well, it actually can get pretty toasty in there with the proper amount of oil-filled radiator heaters.
There you go. So Jim loves to go fishing. He's posting all the time from his walleye catches, making us a little bit crazy, but it's delicious.
Well, this is the perfect time of year. This is when the walleye come in shallow at night, and there's nothing like fishing out when it's pitch black outside, and all you can hear are geese and coyotes and owls, and then you catch fish.
And many of them. And it turns out you're a fish fry aficionado as well. How did that? Is the page something that you helped create, or you just are one of their biggest promoters?
No, I created it because I thought it'd be a good idea, because people would always ask me, where do you go for a fish fry when you're out in Wisconsin? And so I thought I'd create it, and then I was kind of shocked that it seemed to get follower after follower, and now there's over 2,000 people that are following it. And I there's a lot of restaurants that post to it, but I really try to encourage people that share your own pictures when you go out. People want to, you know, don't, you know, bash places, but be honest about what was good about what you had and where you went and why it was good or what didn't quite hit the mark.
And Greg and Parker, the nice thing about this, of pages like this, that, I mean, the dumpster fire that is social media by and large, you get these pages and people just want to put good stuff on there, Greg, that people actually want to share where to go to get a good meal.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where, like, and it's both refreshing, and then you have to sit there and go, oh, this is a nice page. This is nice people. I don't have to be the snarkiest one in the room. This feels so wonderful.
Well, that's just it. When somebody does put a snarky comment up on a page like that, you're like, dude, what are you doing? Get out of here. Yeah. This isn't where that is. So,
Well, okay, Jim, I mean, it'd be like asking you to pick your favorite child, and I know which one is. But, yeah. You know, of all the fish fries, I mean, I don't even know how you begin. Do you tend to recommend something close to home? Or is there a place that if you could, you would drive that 100 miles, you know, more often to get it? What comes to mind when I say, tell somebody the best of the best?
Well, there's a couple that are, I mean, there are some that are local, like here in my backyard. I really love Jake's Supper Club, just does a good job. And you know, when we were setting up for this, you kind of asked me what makes a good fish fry.
Right.
And there's a lot of choices. And I'd say here in Wisconsin, it's almost always cod. You do have lake trout. And then, of course, there's smelt, you know, early in the year, too. But and if there's lots of bad cod out there.
Yes.
So when places do a good job with cod, you really got to say, okay, you made cod really good and flavorful. Jake's Supper Club, North Menominee here on Taylor Lake, does a great job with their cod and their side, and it's really reasonable. And Cheers, you know, they're kind of like a Cheers place. You walk in, even if you don't know somebody, you're going to know somebody by the end of the day or end of the evening if you sit at the bar. So that's a great one.
Yeah.
So, and then if you want to get off the beaten path, one of my absolute favorites is Sportsman's Bar in Ridgeland. Mm-hmm. has walleye. They have their own homemade cheesy potatoes that are to die for. In fact, get there early because they run out of the cheesy potatoes every time. And they do their own homemade coleslaw that is extra creamy and rich, not as vinegary, which is kind of, it's what I like is the creamier stuff. So, and then you mentioned like a place that I would drive like an hour and a half to 2 hours to, and that's the Monarch Public House in Fountain City on the Mississippi River, because it's not just the food, it's also just the atmosphere and the proprietor. And John Harrington runs the Monarch Public House in Fountain City, and that's been a business since the building was built in the 1800s. So you can you get a lot of history when you go in there. He makes some of the best muddled old fashions that you'll ever have. And then he does walleye as his fish there. And John can tell you all sorts of fun stories about the river, about the history of the area. So that one is really worth the drive.
I got to ask you, though, from a walleye standpoint, I'm it is so good, but I'm so hesitant because there's, you know, it can be rather bony. And yet I've also read it's possible to do walleye and have it not be bony. But, you know, you got to know just how to do it. You catch a lot of walleye. Is there, in fact, a trick to it, or is small bones just the risk you take?
No, walleye is easy. You're thinking a northern pike.
Okay.
Northern pike is the bony one where you have to get around the Y bone to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love northern pike. I don't think I've ever seen it on a fish fry menu because it is so difficult to clean. But this is where YouTube can be your friend again with like social media, because I found some great videos on how to perfectly clean a northern pike, and I've done it.
See, it can't be. See, Greg, that's what we're going to do maybe next Friday, is we'll just lay out a bunch of fish in our respective studios, and we'll work on this. You up for it?
Boy, can't wait to reschedule that one.
Yeah.
Our coworkers will love that. Look for Wisconsin Friday Fish Fry Fandom on Facebook. Jim Zahns, thanks so much. Good to catch up with you. Greg, thank you as well. Have a great start to the weekend. We will continue things here from Madison, live on the Civic Media Radio Network, right after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.